Connecticut's political debate, especially when it comes to energy policy. You have probably seen it when you've looked at debates between Governor Lamont and State Representative Josh Elliott. You've obviously heard it as well in the race to become governor from Senator Ryan Fazio, who's running as a Republican. It's become overly partisan, and a lot of times it's driven by political rhetoric rather than actual expertise, kind of technical expertise. So I wanted to chat with our energy expert on the show, Bryson Hull, who has actually studied and worked in the energy field for 25 years. He's also the Deputy Northeast Director for the Consumer Energy Alliance. Welcome back, Bryson. How are you?
Always great to be here in the morning with you, Melissa.
Am I wrong in saying that this has kind of become a lot of political jargon? I understand it's important to recognize during this very important political time, especially a gubernatorial election, but are we missing technical expertise in this?
Oh, 100%. I think I have the privilege of being able to look at energy across the country and see what works, what doesn't work. We're woefully not, I don't want to say undereducated, but we don't have a lot of great energy expertise. We don't produce energy. So what we have, and what we've had for a long time, is a lot of people who are from the environmental law space determining things, as opposed to the side that, you know, keeps the power on 24/7. You know what I mean? So that's a problem. And I think you heard, in terms of ideas, I would rate them as, like, it's Dumb and Dumber Part 2 from the governor, you know, reversing course on his pretty wise, like, hey, we need an all of the above. We need more energy, not less. And then you have Josh Elliott going, hey, let's go back to FDR and, you know, do this and, like, municipalize, which is also, that's a national campaign. There's a lot behind it. Both of them are borrowing from sort of national campaigns to take apart the regulated utility model. And I think the regulated utility model is like capitalism. You show me a better system. It's not perfect. Nothing's perfect, but it's the best system. It's like American democracy. Can you show me something better than this? Is it perfect? No. It's messy. It's interesting. It's
complex.
Yeah, it's complex. That's the problem with energy. The more I learn, the less I realize I know.
Mm.
And I find it endlessly fascinating. It's like the everlasting gobstopper of knowledge, right?
The more
you learn.
Kind of.
We don't really have that. In the legislature, we've got Senator John Fanfara is about as smart and sophisticated as you get, and he is pretty sophisticated. But beyond that, we don't have a ton.
Wow. And which is interesting in and of itself, only because this has consistently been an issue. Do you feel like politicians blame the wrong entities, a.k.a. the utilities, versus, you know, a lot of the times, not to put words in your mouth, but a lot of the times you'll come on this show and you'll say, we've got that narrative wrong. In fact, that you support, obviously, our utilities.
Anybody who's going to give me power 24/7 or show up on July 4th, as they did at my house when the power was out and it's 100 degrees, and triple the load to our neighborhood when they could have been home with their families, having hot dogs and enjoying the day, I'm okay with that. I don't take it for granted because I work in this space, but I always tell you this, right? We meet energy at the light switch, the bill, or the gas pump. And if that experience goes well, we're happy. So that's an emotional thing, right? Because if your power's out, you're freaking out. Oh my God, my phone, I can't charge. I can't look at Instagram. I can't make great videos on Instagram like you, Melissa. we're done. So people have a bad reaction. And the visceral part of that is what the politicians play on. And remember, the regulated utility model is Mother May I. The trade-off with Mother May I is, okay, so you're sort of a private company, but you're under the hand of a regulator who's going to say yes, no, yes, no. And politicians can kick the dog when they feel like it. That's a handy dog to kick. So they do it, and they're doing it, and they're doing it all season. The other really interesting factor, you've seen Ryan Fazio's, you know, blaming the governor for giving tax incentives to data centers. That's become a bipartisan issue nationally. Like, oh my God, the data centers are raising our costs. It's their fault. We don't have hardly a data center here to speak of. And when they're talking data centers, they mean AI data centers. Those are like, that's like the equivalent of like an aircraft carrier. And most of the other data centers are like little speedboats, right? In terms of their power use. So I think we've got a little bit wrong. And just remember, it's silly season. It's election season. So believe half of what you see and none of what you hear, to borrow the old line from Edgar Allan Poe.
I was just going to say, my mother loves that line and uses it all the time. And I think, Mom, I'm a talk show host. Please don't use that. Bryson Hull is here.
We're Yankees, man.
Yeah, right. There you go. Exactly. And he is our energy expert actually here on the show. But Bryson actually, and I've never really shared this. I don't know why, but Bryson has actually studied and has worked in this field really for 25 years. In fact, Bryson, you have not only just done, I'd say, advocacy work here in Connecticut, but you've crossed state lines and have even done testimonials and kind of weighed in, haven't you?
I'm usually states? Against bad ideas in any state, and fortunately my work allows me to go to other states where bad ideas are. The really bad idea of late that this year that made me the first time in my life testifying elsewhere was New Jersey, and that's the super fun thing we've talked about, which
right.
is like, we want free money. Give us $50 billion for selling a legal product. Good luck with that. It's not going to survive the courts.
Right. So that's why I go to Bryson whenever it comes to energy, because again, I do think, especially in recent years, I mean, you talk about even the Oh my gosh, I just blanked on it. What do the Republicans want to get rid of? Public benefits.
Democrats?
No. The Republicans want to get... No, because this is why. The Democrats don't think it's that big of a deal. But I think even that, you know, I was just talking to somebody about the public benefits charge and is it really as impactful as everybody thinks it is? And again, those arguments, it's like night and day. If you talk to one party, we should eliminate them. It's not fair. And again, I think on the surface... even behind closed doors, I've had bipartisan agreement that it's not fair. It should be something that we all share, not just the people who are energy customers. But they don't feel it would actually give much money back. And it doesn't really solve the issue of why our energy, you know, is so expensive in Connecticut. But how can we be so polar opposite on that?
Oh, because we're in La La Land. I mean, we have been.
We've been in La La Land
for a long time.
For a bit.
I think, like, let's just look at what happened with Dr. Fauci, for example. We finally saw what came out of his diary. People are like, oh, my God, he's still St. Fauci. Give me the bobblehead of Dr. Fauci. Give me the St. Fauci candle. I saw this in D.C. I was just like, when you are making a bureaucrat, a guy who didn't even practice medicine, a saint and a bobblehead, you believe in a religion that is not a religion. So you're not thinking anymore. You're just like, hey, this is what all the cool people in my neighborhood are. And we have hate has no home here signs. And we can all say, yeah, we're good. But just don't move any of those poor people into my neighborhood. You see? So it's a belief system. I think fundamentally our country is a great one. The system, again, not perfect, but the systems work. And the problem is our politics is so polarized and you're talking past each other. And that's from both ends, by the way. I just think we have to be real. Our background's in journalism. We're facts, right? We're about facts. Is this true? Is this not true? Is this good? And back to your point about public benefits. For me, the system is the legislature decides what policies we're going to do. Well, they shoved all that stuff into the bill. And they didn't really ask us, hey, do you really think we should be, I don't know, paying for weird little NGOs to have $200,000 to go across from Hartford to New Britain for a night to testify? I don't think you want to pay for that. I don't want to pay for that. As a taxpayer, we're already paying enough taxes. So those things should be. But the business model since really for 20 years of the environmental movement writ large, and I'm talking Sierra Club, National Resource Defense Council, Earthworks, all these big groups with tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. Their business is to legislate in things for them. So why do you never hear anything other than wind and solar? Because there's a tax incentive to make wind and solar. You wouldn't have solar deployment without taxes or without an incentive. So I always say this, show me the incentive, I'll tell you the outcome. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And I think what's happening here is we're defending that. And you know, why are we defending it? Because we have a one-off agency. We have merged our environmental and energy. So our conservation and energy. Energy is math. It's physics. It's you need this 24/7, right? Environmentalists, we need to preserve. They are sometimes antagonistic. And we're the only state in the country. Kentucky has a cabinet position where they have energy and environment together. That was done under Steve Beshear, the current governor's brother. Maybe same time, give or take, as us, which was 2011 when we merged deep in the Department of, what were they called, Public Utility Control in PURA. So environmental sits over energy. And that's why we have the policies we have here.
Seems like a conflict of interest.
Massive.
Just a little bit. We are chatting with Bryson Hull right now, who is our energy expert on the show. He also has been in the energy field for 25 years. He is the deputy Northeast director for the Consumer Energy Alliance. And we're talking about kind of sifting through more of the political debate when it comes to our energy prices. And what you're probably hearing, especially in political debates and probably campaigns and advertisements for you to vote, not just in the primary, but obviously the upcoming general election in November. So we obviously need more expertise, right? I mean, I think that we can agree on that we just kind of have a lack of that up in Hartford or even across the state of Connecticut. But what do you think should be the goal then for policymakers, Bryson? What do you see as, you know, better recommendations? How do we better see this? And I would even say take the politics out of it. How do we actually find concrete solutions for the Connecticut residents who, by the way, I think are kind of left in the balance?
We're getting the shaft all the time from the policies. We have policies we don't deserve. This is a state. I'm seventh generation here. My family goes back to before the census, and I'm proud of that. I came back here. There's plenty of other places to live with lower taxes and better weather in the winter, but I came here because I love the state. We don't get what we deserve. What we've had was a bold idea. It was Governor Malloy facing $3.7 billion record deficit. Says we're going to save money by merging the Department of Public Utility Control with the department.
I missed that, by the way. I didn't realize that. So I'm born and raised Connecticut. I didn't realize we were merged, first of all, and that we're only the second state to do something like that in the country. That's fascinating to me.
But they still, the only other one, Kentucky has that at a cabinet position, but they have the public utility board, PUC over there is off by itself. It's independent, as it should be.
So they still have some oversight that's not actually political. Involved, right? Okay.
It's not on the political thumb.
Right. See, I think that's a big deal. So we're the only state that doesn't do, I guess we do our own
thing. We're the experiment, and we're the lab rats, and it's not been well, because Molloy at the time is like, oh, it's going to save money. I mean, what are you saving with 700 employees in the state, right? Money-wise, fine. That's a convenient excuse. Hey, I'm doing something about the massive deficit. But what you did was you put environmental lawyers essentially over the utility regulation space.
Which is, I'm sorry, it's a conflict of interest.
Yeah. And you know, God bless Yale and all the great thinking, but Yale environmental lawyers think a certain way. This is a place that gets money from China, the Yale Center on Climate Change Communication, funded by China. And so this is the same kind of lockstep we've seen from D.C. That's wind, solar. I'm not against wind and solar. All those things are great. We need everything we can get. But if that's your only solution, you're reading off a playbook. And we've literally had, until Emma Cimino, the current acting commissioner, we've had three Yale environmental lawyers running things. So that's a paucity. That's a lack
of. I don't think most people know that.
Sorry, that's a bad word. That's a lack of diversity of ideas.
Mm.
We're only having the same, hey, I'm good at this. I'm going to follow exactly what the script from Sierra Club is. And these, you know, lockstep policies that came out sort of under the Obama administration, those are not solutions. This is a problem. We have two problems here, okay? And this is a bigger thing. It's a storm coming. People don't see it. I'm behind the scenes of the Wizard of Oz kind of things that get done in advocacy. So I know it. You could see it coming with the data centers. There was in 2025 early when that came out, you could see the playbook given by all these groups. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do it just like we did against fracking. And they have succeeded. They got Pennsylvania bipartisanly to shut down. We're not doing data centers. Okay. So that's pretty effective. What you're seeing here is our big mistake was under Roland, we followed Enron Corp's idea that, hey, let's get out of the regulated utility space in the vertical integration, meaning we can buy the power, we can go in the advanced market, get a good price, smooth out the costs, and now we're in basically the day-ahead market. You buy something the day ahead, you know how expensive it is. It's like Amazon pricing, right? Oh, you really want that? Yeah, sorry, it just rose to 25 from 23. Same deal, but worse. And then you have gas prices go up, electricity prices go up. That's when we move to the deregulated model, right? So we're exposed to that cost all the time. The utilities here have nothing to do with that, but they get blamed for it.
Right.
They get blamed for it. It's the same in New York. It's the same in many other states. That's mistake number one. Mistake number two, I think, was merging deep and having environment supersede the actual business of just getting power that we need to run the economy, to be a successful state, to have manufacturing. We're losing manufacturing for 1,000 reasons, tax, but for sure. And I laugh when people are like, oh, we're not going to help have data center. We're going to fight data center. No data center wants to come to Connecticut. Clue, we have some of the highest electricity prices in the country. We had them when Molloy did this in 2011. We still have them now. I say your experiment failed. A bold person will come into the legislature and say, this is what we got to do. There's rumblings that there's some interest in looking at the saying in the business is put the toothpaste back in the tube and get out of New England ISO so we're not exposed to the supply cost as much as we are as a people.
Interesting.
Those are bold ideas, but they're hard. They require expertise. And I will give the governor credit for actually putting some real expertise on PURA. They're a real regulator again. They're not just a fantasy regulator. They're a real regulator. That's what we need there, but we need more, and you need to be bold about it. You can't do this by half measures.
Well, and even like you were saying, Bryson, separating those two entities, I mean, I know that that's bold, but to me, we have experts that have been identified in the state of Connecticut. We just don't have them as lawmakers, which I would push back and say I don't really love when people are real estate agents, but then they're going to weigh in on housing legislation. You know what I'm saying? So I don't necessarily need energy experts to be lawmakers, but I do think you separate those entities instead of having deep in control. I mean, to me, why couldn't we separate them and have them two different so that at least you have an equal debate when they are deciding things, what's best for Connecticut? Again, to be the only state that doesn't do that model is bizarre to me.
It's we think we're doing right. We're not doing right. The evidence is here. If Governor
Well, Molloy, and the me's and the you, well, not you because you know it, but the me's and the listeners, we don't know the difference.
Well, I'll just say, are your prices higher now than they were 10 years ago? And with this bold idea with deep, I think the answer is yes. I know the answer is yes. They continue to go up and it's not working. So stop blaming utilities. Stop William Tonging your way around and going, oh, I'm going to step on Eversource. Why don't you make yourself useful instead of just blathering into the air and doing something useful? It's unfortunate that the media is incentivized to write about this stuff. And, you know, God knows we both did it, but just do something bold. If the governor was serious, he wouldn't have backtracked and put all these progressive things in. He had no threat from Josh Elliott. He has no threat. This is not John Larson and Luke Bronin, okay? And I grant you, we had a really interesting primary season here. It's been surprising. So I get the intention, but don't push stupid ideas. You know better, Governor. You know better. Be bold. Do something right. The other thing I will say, really, really stupid idea to say, oh, I think they should earn their right to have their franchise agreement every 10 to 15 years. You want to know what that's going to do? Send your prices straight through the roof. Who's going to invest? Who's going to fund those utilities if, hey, in 10 years, maybe you don't have the license to do this anymore?
Right.
They're trying to destroy that model. It's coming nationally. And you want to know who's behind it? The money behind it is not, it's one of my favorite strange bedfellows. It's the environmental groups that are like, we don't want fossil fuels, who just seem to think that Europe's a great idea and nothing works there. Oh my God, we're not going to have air conditioning. Oh my God, we have no power. And oh my God, industry in Germany's dead because it's too expensive. That's a great model. It's a stupid model, but it's the independent power suppliers. The children of Enron that are the merchant generators who make money on volatility, price volatility, who are the biggest portion of your bill. That's who it is. So it's a really unholy alliance coming at us. And watch this space. Anybody, I saw Blumenthal again talking out of his rear end, saying we need to get rid of the regulated public utility model. That's a talking point from DC and this unholy alliance. It's coming. So don't believe that. Be a good customer here.
Yeah. Well, and do your research and certainly keep tuning into these, I think, conversations, especially as we are in the thick of the political season leading up to the general election. And I know energy is something that people are focused on for understandable reason, but what politicians are saying and what they are doing, that's what we need to pay attention to. Bryson Hall, I always appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Same here. Thanks so much for having me.